welcome our visitors who came in. Matthew chapter 17 this morning. Last week, we looked at the subject of faith, a rare commodity, and we saw in our text how the multitudes didn't exercise faith. The man that had a lunatic son, likewise, didn't exercise much faith, nor did the disciples, the men of God. They didn't exercise faith. And we made the application, do we exercise faith? We're saved by faith. The Bible says that we're to walk by faith. But many times we find that that's simply not the case. But we need to strive with all of our might to live and to walk by faith. And by that, I mean we just need to trust God, believing what He has revealed to us in His Word. That's faith. Faith saves whenever you put your faith, your trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's simply referring to believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and what God has revealed to us about Him in the Word of God. It's faith alone that saves. And we're to live by faith as well. God reveals things to us. We discover those things in the Word of God, and then we seek to implement them in our lives. So let it be said of us that we are people of faith. But we're going to look at a much different subject this morning. And again, we're continuing on with our study of the book of Matthew. And we're going to look at the subject of taxes. Notice in our text, it begins at verse 24. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, and that's not saying that he kept him from entering the house. That is one of the old English words that's found in our King James Bible, and it means something much different than it does to us today. Most of the time when you see it in the King James Bible, it's talking about proceeding. But in this particular case, it's talking about Jesus anticipating what Simon Peter might ask him in light of what others said to Simon Peter. And he says, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? And Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith to him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. And take and give unto them for me and thee. The subject again is taxes. It will be extremely difficult for me this morning to stay on subject. You are going to discover through the process of this message what my political beliefs are, if you don't already know them. But I'm going to do my very best to not focus in on my political beliefs and rather focus on the lesson that is here for you and I. And so let's pray before we get into the message. Lord, again, it is good to be able to assemble together in your house with your people. Lord, we find it a privilege to be able to hold in our hands a copy of the Word of God and a privilege to be able to study it. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless the Word of God today as it is read, as it is preached. Might you use it to help each and every one that's present this morning. Lord, we understand the most urgent need anyone has is the need to be saved. To be saved from the punishment that they deserve for their sin. And so if there are individuals, even our young children, who are not yet saved, may you work in their hearts and lives to bring them to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those of us that are saved, help us this morning. Lord, may we not become distracted by things that are of a lesser significance than the gospel and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless this message as it goes forth, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at two things primarily this morning. Are taxes always fair and just? And secondarily, are taxes to be paid by the saints? When you study this passage of Scripture and you read what other peoples have to say about it, most Bible-believing teachers don't think that the type of tax that's described here is your traditional government-type tax. Pastor Sorensen, in his commentary, he said the fact that the tribute in question, or the tax in question, was voluntary, and he's concluding that from certain statements in our text, precludes Roman taxes. Theirs was mandatory. Rather, what is at hand was the temple tax, which was payable each March by all Jewish men 20 years or older. The temple tax was not levied by the Romans, but rather by the Jews for the maintenance of the temple. It was the proper thing for a Jewish man to do, though it was not legally compulsory. But again, we will study the subject of taxes in a much broader sense. Are taxes always fair and just? I think we all understand and probably know the answer to that question. And the answer is no. I mean, did not Jesus portray the publicans in a negative sense? And we understand who the publicans are, right? The publicans were the tax collectors. And had they done their job, and they done it justly, and they done it fairly, people probably would have had a favorable opinion of them. But as we read through the Scriptures, people didn't have a favorable opinion of the publicans. Jesus, as I said, did not portray them in a positive light. In Matthew 5:46, Jesus said, "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?" Even the publicans do that. Again, that's not portraying the publicans in a very positive light. He's saying, if you just love those that love you, you're no different than a publican. And again, publicans weren't perceived in a positive light. Elsewhere in Matthew chapter 18, in verse 17, Jesus there is discussing how we should deal with different trespasses against us. And he said, "And if he shall neglect to hear them," that is the church, "tell it unto the church, but if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." So you see, in that context, the publican is associated with the heathen, the unbelievers. And elsewhere in Matthew 21:31, Jesus said that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. So he associated the publicans there with the harlots, with the prostitutes. So Jesus, he did not portray the tax collectors, the publicans, in a positive light, nor did the Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 11, it says, "And when the Pharisees saw it," Jesus having dinner with certain publicans, "they said, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" Why is he sitting down with that type of person? A publican. A person that was considered a thief by most of the people. And again, I think most of us have probably heard preaching on why it is the publicans were perceived to be thieves. And it's because not only did they take what was required by law, but they actually forced more from the people. They took more than was just, more than was lawful. Are taxes always just and fair? No, they're not. The historical practice of taxes illustrates this fact. Notice in our text, Jesus said he asked the question to Simon Peter in verse 25, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Who do kings tax? Their own children or strangers? Well, and Simon Peter answers, strangers, foreigners, aliens. You know, it was common, especially in this day, not to tax the citizens of your country, but to tax instead all of those peoples whom you have conquered. So in this particular case, the naturally born Roman citizens may not be taxed, but the Jews would be. The Canaanites would be. The Hittites would be. Other people that the Roman Empire conquered, they would tax those people, and their citizens, or you might say their children, were free from these taxes. And again, this has been the practice in the past. That's not necessarily the case nowadays. But again, this historical practice of taxes being collected this way demonstrates that they're not always fair. I mean, is it fair for a people that was conquered to have to pay the taxes while the other people don't? Probably those that were paying the taxes would say that's unfair. But unfortunately for them, they were the ones that were conquered. And they couldn't do anything about it. By the way, when Jesus made these statements, he was demonstrating his deity. Demonstrating that he was God. Because he says, then are the children free. Not just the children of the kingdom. But here, what he was saying is, he and his followers, his disciples, his children, they're at liberty not to have to pay this tax. If they, you know, they don't have to. I mean, Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Does he have to pay taxes to a nation whom he brought into existence? He doesn't have to. But as we'll notice here in a minute, he did. The American tax system illustrates that taxes are not always fair and just. You know, if taxes were collected simply to build bridges and roads, probably nobody would ever complain. If taxes were collected to just build up a strong military, then nobody would probably complain because everybody benefits by America having a strong military presence. Everybody benefits by roads, especially interstate roads that go from state to state. We all, if we travel any at all, benefit by the interstate system. And so if that's all the taxes were collected for, we'd say, you know what, they're fair and they're just. But that's not what taxes, the majority of taxes, are collected for in America today. America's tax system, federal tax system, and in many senses the state tax system, is nothing more than a means to redistribute wealth. And if you disagree with that, try to opt out of paying those taxes. Say, I don't want to pay Social Security tax. I don't want to pay Medicare tax. I'll take care of myself. And the government say, no, you can't do that because we need your money to give to others. I shared with you before a statement that Karl Marx made. Karl Marx, Marxism, communism, the founder of it. He said, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. In other words, the American tax system. If your property is worth $200,000, you pay more in taxes than if it's worth $20,000. Why? If you make $1 million a year, you pay more taxes than if you make $25,000 a year. Why? Well, because the government says you have the ability to pay more, and so they take more from you. Is that fair? I don't think so. Some people may find that fair. I don't think it's fair. You know, God, if he has anything similar to a tax, it's the tithe. And what does he require from everybody? One-tenth. If you make $25,000 a year, if you make $25 million a year, you're required by God to give a tenth. That's fair. Matter of fact, our current president, he's always talking about the rich paying their fair share. And I'm like, fair share? 50%, nearly 50% of the people in America pay zero federal dollars, federal income tax. Zero. I'm one of them, by the way, because I have so many kids. They take a little bit out, but they give it all back to me at the end of the year. So don't think Warren Buffett's the only one saying, hey, you know, even if it doesn't benefit me, just tax me more. I'm over here saying, you know what, it doesn't benefit me to change the tax code, but it needs changed. Because 50% of people pay no federal income tax. The top 1% pay nearly 40% of all federal income taxes. Does that sound fair? Again, I don't want to get distracted. I'm simply trying to highlight, taxes are not always fair. Taxes are not always just. Taxes are not always lawful, like an income tax. Don't find it in the Constitution. But some people don't care about the Constitution. They think that it's an impediment. It impedes them.
Yes.
From doing what they want.
It does.
And that was the purpose, by the way, of the Constitution, to limit the power of the federal government. That's why I find it so humorous that our current president continues to say things like, boy, it'd be nice, you know, to be over in China where you're not, you know, hindered by a constitution. You can just do what you want. He seems to do what he wants anyway, right? Just makes a mandate. And the mandate is, you have to provide contraceptive insurance for your employees. You know, taxes, it's a relevant subject, isn't it? It's in the news every day, and it has been for the last 3 years. This is a very relevant subject for us to understand what the Bible has to say about taxes. But again, let me just kind of get off the subject just for a moment, since it's been in the news every day last week. The federal government, the President of the United States, makes a mandate and says even to Catholic hospitals and Christian hospitals, you have to provide contraceptives, you have to provide sterilizations, you have to provide the morning after pill to your employees. Does the government, does the President of the United States have the power and the authority to make such a mandate? Everybody has access to contraceptives if they want it. Just have them go buy it themselves. When conservatives talk about personal responsibility, that's what we're talking about. Insurance is for catastrophic events, things that take place that you couldn't have foresaw and don't have the money for. We carry insurance on our home. Why? In case it burns up. We have the ability then to replace it. Do we get insurance for every little thing in our house, though, individually? Do we say we want insurance on our electric bill? It's like saying we want insurance on contraceptives. I better stop right there because I'm getting off subject. I'm just simply saying taxes aren't fair. Many times taxes are not legal. Taxes are not lawful. Taxes are burdensome. So what do? Not pay them? As if we had that choice. Refuse to pay them? Find illegal loopholes to get around them? Is that what we should do? No. That's not what we should do. Taxes are not always fair. They're not always lawful. Sometimes they're oppressive. But the Bible would command the saints of God, the children of God, believers, to pay their taxes. Let me show you from the scriptures why. Because we don't like them, right? I know the mindset of most everybody that's sitting here. We don't like taxes. Unless they were to go for roads and military, foreign affairs, I'm fine with that. But whenever you take money from one group of people to give it to another, I find the potential for great abuses there.
That's right.
I got to stop myself too. In Matthew 22, notice in verse 15, it says, "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Is it right to pay your taxes?" You know what? I'm confident that the Pharisees knew that the taxes in this day were probably burdensome, perhaps unlawful. Politicians have always been crooks. The Pharisees knew that Jesus knew that, and I'm confident that they assumed that he would say, "Don't pay your taxes." But that's not what he says. It says, "But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought him a penny, and he saith unto him, Whose is the image and subscription? And they say unto him, Caesar's. Then he saith unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." It's almost as if Jesus was saying, "I don't have time for this. Just pay your taxes, and let's get on with more important matters." That's the impression I get. You know, back when I was living there in Indianapolis and in Greenwood, they'd have a conference every year in a Baptist church downtown of people who didn't want to pay their taxes. Every year, a conference on that subject. And I always thought to myself, isn't there more important subjects we could be discussing than taxes and incorporation and all of those things? And again, don't get me wrong, there's no bigger opponent of our federal tax system than yours truly. But besides what I said this morning, I'm not going to give that a great deal of attention. I have very strong political beliefs, and I'm going to do everything to change the course of this country. Except for waste your time from this pulpit talking about those things, because they are so much less significant than knowing God and walking with God. I've got more important things to do with the majority of my life than to espouse hatred for the federal tax system. I've got souls to win, saints to edify, the scriptures to contend for, and those things are so much more important.
Yes.
We're not to allow the cares of this world to distract us from those things that are more important. And I tell you, a soul that's in jeopardy of falling off into hell is of much greater importance than changing the federal tax code. Matthew 6:33 comes to mind. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I wish April 14th we could be like Simon Peter and just go out to the pond and, "Lord, my tax bill is due. Let there be a check in this fish's mouth." That'd be nice, wouldn't it? I think it does demonstrate, though, God's provision for us. My first reason why we should pay taxes is this: it's just money. It's just money. And God's able to make you abound, even if the federal government takes 50% of what you make. You might not think he does, but you know what? When you consider federal tax, state tax, local tax, Medicare tax, sales tax, property tax, Taxes on your utilities. It adds up. Surprised we have any money. By the way, if more taxes are the answer, just tax everybody 100% and then we'll be set. Doesn't work, does it?
Right.
Yeah. It's just money. I have to remind myself of that all the time because I just, you know, they did an assessment of everybody's property in Indiana, 2010. 2010, I had an appraisal of my property for mortgage purposes. I needed it to be at a certain level, at least what I bought the house for, so that the mortgage company would do what I wanted them to do. Of course, the appraisal came in under that because of what's transpired in our economy. The very same time the state does an appraisal of my property, and of course it's in their best interest for it to be high so they get more tax dollars, and it's like 30% higher than the appraisal. And so hey, wait a minute, guys. I go down and I meet with them. They send you a letter, by the way. You need to be here on this date at 10:20. If you're late, we just cancel the whole thing. I'm like, the federal government, they're just so flexible. Great customer service. Love them. Love them. You want these guys to be in charge of your health care? Hey, more power to you. BNB, they're the same way. They're not very flexible, are they? No. They can talk about customer service all they want, but they're not very flexible. I say, guys, I just had an appraisal. And they just make you jump through all kinds of hoops. Nothing infuriates me more than having to jump through those hoops to try to keep some of my hard-earned money. But it is just money. It's just money. And money's not that important. Now, freedom and liberty is important.
Yes, sir.
And the problem with the way this country is going is eventually it's going to cause problems for Bible-believing people. I've said this before. I'll probably say it Friday night at the youth rally, but I'm going to say it here again. God's people are going in this direction, and the world is going in this direction. And the two are diametrically opposed to one another. And you know what? If you give these secular humanists their way, atheists, the homosexuals, you give them their way, and you know what? Just like what happened in Germany is likely to happen in America, because they will not tolerate us. They will not allow me to have the freedom to express my religious views from this pulpit if it contradicts their core values and their core beliefs. So be on the lookout. But again, I might be getting too political. It's just money. Are we to pay our taxes? Absolutely, because it's just money. Look at Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. It says, "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him, Jesus, unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King." Was that a true statement? That Jesus forbid to give tribute to pay his taxes to Caesar? That was not true. That was a lie. We've already seen there in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus paid his taxes. So this was a lie. But you know what? This demonstrates how if we don't pay our taxes, it can become a stumbling block to other people. They could accuse us as Christians of wrongdoing, and our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ can in the end be ruined as a result. What happens every year there's an election? Somebody accuses some other politician of not paying their taxes. And is it because they think that that's such a terrible offense? No, it's so that in the minds of people, this person will become a stumbling block, that people will not be able to vote for, that people would not vote for them because they did not pay their taxes. As Christians, one of the things that we've got to guard is our testimony our witness before others. And if people can find some type of wrongdoing in our lives, they're certainly going to use it to reject the gospel message that we preach. Most of you probably are aware of the creation science evangelist Kent Hovind. His movies, his what do you call them? Movies?
Seminars,
which are on, you know, DVD and such, have been watched by most independent Bible-believing Baptist people. He has a creation-type park. Does anybody know where that's located? In Pensacola, Florida. But he's not there right now. He's in federal prison for tax, not paying taxes. So here's a man that's unable to do unable to perform his ministry because he didn't pay his taxes. Now, I don't know all the ins and outs of it. You know, I don't know what they said about him is true. I've not really read much on that. I know he probably feels a lot like I do. And so he probably tried to find a way where he could get out of paying taxes. But it didn't work out so well for him. And I'm sure that there are some that would find it difficult then to listen to what he has to say on the subject of creation and evolution. We don't want that to happen to us. Okay? We want to pay our taxes so that we don't become a stumbling block for others. We want to pay our taxes because, after all, it's just money. Just money. And then turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. It says, let every soul, means every one of us, be subject unto the higher powers. The higher powers will be defined here in just a moment. It's talking about governors, mayors, presidents, kings. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. God ordained government. God ordained government. And we shouldn't in its entirety despise government for that reason. God has put them in place for a particular reason. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. Since God has ordained governments and given them their power, when we resist them, we're not only resisting the governments and the powers, but we are resisting God. You see why this puts conservatives, Bible-believing people, at such a disadvantage? We're not going to riot and scream and holler and do civil disobedience to make our point and get our way. But liberals have no problem whatsoever doing that.
That's right.
And that puts us at a disadvantage, I guess. But that's all right. Because it's a lot more important to obey God than to get our way. It says in verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. If you do good, if you're a law-abiding citizen, you know what? You're probably not going to incur any wrath from the government. I mean, I never have. They've never... Again, I don't like some policies. I don't like some taxes, but the government has never... You know, other than making my property taxes too high, they never really treated me too bad. Never thrown me in jail unjustly. It says in verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. God has given governments the power, the authority to punish people for wrongdoing. I mean, the sword here, you know, would represent, you know, capital punishment. I mean, they can take someone's life. If someone murders someone, God has given the government the power, the authority to take their life. And by the way, that's justice. That's not cruel, and it doesn't in any way contradict the commandment, thou shalt not kill. You shouldn't kill anybody, any innocent being. But someone who has taken the life of someone else, very clearly in the Bible, their life's to be taken from them.
Right.
That's a just punishment. Verse 6 and 7 really is our text, though. It says, for this cause pay ye tribute also. Pay your taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. This is what they're supposed to be doing. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything. And that owe no man anything, again, not just talking about financial wealth. It's talking about you ensure that you meet all of your obligations and individual responsibilities. And one of your responsibilities as a citizen is to pay your taxes. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. God says here clearly, this is something that's acceptable in my sight. This is something that pleases me. That is, in this life, when we live a peaceable life with all godliness and honesty, not despising necessarily those that rule over us, but praying for them. Praying for them. Let me conclude by summarizing what we've looked at. Taxes, are they always fair and just? No, they're not. Some taxes are unlawful. Some taxes are oppressive. Some taxes are unfair. But are they to be paid by children of God? Yes, they are. Because taxes, after all, it's just money. It's just money. And it's not worth being a stumbling block to someone else by illegally not paying our taxes. Are they to be paid? Yes, because taxes are administered by God's ministers, the higher powers that are referenced in Romans 13. In other words, there are times, like Jesus said to his disciples in our text, that we restrict our liberty. We're the children of the King. We're citizens of heaven. So you might say, in that sense, you don't have to pay taxes. But you're not breaking any laws if you do. You understand what I'm saying? You're not doing anything wrong by paying your taxes in full. What you're doing is ensuring that you don't become a stumbling block for other people, and that you can be the most effective witness that you can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I say it often, but our goal as an individual and our goal as a ministry is to glorify God. That's our highest end in life, is to glorify God. And knowing that, we then have to ask ourselves, how can we do that? How can we glorify God? And we often say here in the church, winning the sinner, discipling the saved, perfecting the saints, contending for the Scriptures. And you can put many things under each of those four categories. If we're going to win the sinner, we need not be a stumbling block. We don't want someone saying, oh, look, there's somebody that don't pay their taxes. No, we pay them. We may try to work to change the tax system in our country to be more beneficial according to our opinions. But you know what? So long as it is the way that it is, we want to be a law-abiding citizen, and therefore we pay our taxes. But again, to me, the point is this. The message that we need to receive this morning from this text is the most important thing in life. It's not money. It's not taxes. We don't want to be bothered by these things. Jesus, again, in a sense, he says, you know what? Don't bother me with this. I got more important things to do. So get the money, give it to them, and let's get about the Father's business. And that needs to be our attitude. We've got important things to do. We've got sinners to win, saints to edify, the Scriptures to contend for and to preach. These are the things that matter. And it's not going to matter 100 years from now how much we did or did not pay in taxes. That's not going to matter. But what's going to matter is how many people have we won to the Lord? How many saints have we encouraged to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ? How much biblical truth did we impart to our children, our neighbors, our spouses, or other fellow saints? Those are the things that are going to matter. So we get political sometimes. It's our prerogative. But politics will never cure the ills in America.
Right.
If we begin to experience revival in America, things will change. You know why? Because the attitudes and the beliefs of Americans will change. When there's enough Americans that say, you know what? I don't want your food stamps. I don't want your health care. I don't want your handouts. I'm going to take care of myself. The tax problem will take care of itself, won't it? But that won't happen until the morals of the people of America change. And the morals of the American people will not change until enough people trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and to begin to test all things by this book. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. And thank you for the instructions that it gives us. Lord, I believe that the subject of taxes is one that's very relevant to this very day. Lord, it's a subject that is discussed quite often in current events. You hear about it each day on the radio. And Lord, I know the disdain that some of us have for unfair taxes could cause us to get distracted from those things that are truly important. And so Lord, help that not to happen. Help us to strive to live peaceable lives, to be law-abiding citizens so long as those laws do not contradict the laws of God. And Lord, might we be effective witnesses as a result for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to heed the admonition to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and that all these things shall be added unto you. Lord, all these things include food, raiment, housing, and protection. So God, again, help us to understand priority is serving you and glorifying you with our lives. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that's not saved, use the message to speak to their heart, to show them their need for Jesus Christ. And I pray these things in His name. Amen. Stand with me. Let's turn to hymn 155.